All right, Shoreline, how we doing? Well, that was terrible. Hey, Ethan, thanks for leading worship. Shoreline, how we doing? Oh, all right, there we go. If we have not met, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get the honor to serve here on staff with the high school ministry. And we are continuing our series that we've been going through over the summer, What's So Bad About? And we've been addressing different topics or perspectives that are that Christians are known to hold, or issues that Christians are known to be against. And so tonight specifically, we are talking about what's so bad about porn. And whether you have been addicted to porn, or you are addicted to porn, or you know someone who has been or who is now, I'm telling you that tonight, what God's word has to say will be helpful for you, for someone you know, or for someone you will know in the future. So grab your Bible, grab a journal, or grab your phone, however you like taking notes, and be ready to learn from the Lord tonight. So to kind of set up where we're going in this message, what's so bad about porn, I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me when I was in junior high. One morning, I woke up, and my entire neck was broken out in bumps, in rashes, like literally the whole thing. And I had no idea why this had happened to me. And so what I did was, when I was going to school that day, we wore uniforms at the school that I went to. And so I would just pop my collar so that my junior high friends would not see my bumpy neck. And the reason why I did this was because junior highers are the most savage people in the world. You know this. And so even though I tried to hide the bumps that were all over my neck, you can bet that my friends, my classmates, they saw it. They saw the bumps, and they were like, "Why does your neck look like a lizard skin?" And they started calling me lizard neck. I know, you can feel sorry for me. It was pretty bad, because junior highers are the worst. But anyways, so they started making fun of me, and I was frustrated that this was happening, but I didn't know why it was happening, so I continued to live my life, and one day my mom was like, "All right, we're done. We're taking you to the doctor." And so I go into the doctor's office, they, you know, run some tests, all of this stuff, and then the doctor begins to ask me a question. He's like, "Hey, will you tell me, like, some of the things that are, like, that you've been eating?" And I'm like, "Oh, let me tell you. I've been eating some pizza with cheese all on there and in the crust. I've been eating some Pringles that are cheddar cheese flavored. I've been eating, well, I didn't have Bluebell back in the Caribbean. I had a Haagen-Dazs ice cream, but I've been eating some delicious ice cream. I've been eating some Cheez-Its. I've been eating some string cheese. I've been eating some straight up fake cheese, Cheese Whiz. I've been eating some actual cheese. And of course, some queso." And so you get the drill. Everything that I was eating or constantly consuming had cheese, was some form of dairy. And so the doctor obviously concluded, "The reason why you're being called lizard neck is because you are lactose intolerant, and one of the ways your body is responding is by breaking out in these bumps all over your neck." And so my love for consuming dairy and cheese and all of these different things, they were affecting me physically, psychologically, getting teased by my junior high friends, socially, no one wants to hang out with the lizard neck kid. I was being affected in so many different ways, and I didn't know why. And the reason I start there or use that illustration is because I think the same can be said about porn, that porn is affecting you, is affecting your classmates, your friends, your family members, is affecting you or them physically, psychologically, socially, and even spiritually, and you might not even know it. I think we can all agree that porn is everywhere in our culture. Porn is everywhere. It's accessible, and it's accepted by the majority of our culture. Porn is everywhere, it's accessible, we can throw that up on there, and it's accepted by the majority of our culture. You know this, and I know this to be true. Isn't it interesting, as I've researched and studied and prepared for this, isn't it interesting to find out that our society as a whole is more concerned with social justice and ethically made goods than ever before? Like, we want to be right, we want to seek justice, we want to do good, but still, this very same society is more addicted to pornography than any other time in our world. A couple of studies that I've looked at, this is not new information. This isn't stuff that a youth pastor is making up. You go Google it and you'll see article after article, study after study, showing things like 70% of teens come across porn at least once a month, whether they're seeking it out or not. 64% of teens have received a nude image and 40% have sent one. 40 million Americans regularly visit porn sites, and 35% of all internet downloads are related to porn. 25% of all search engine queries are related to porn, and 2.5 billion emails sent or received every day contain porn. Every 39 minutes, a new porn video is being created in the United States. And so you know this. You didn't even need those statistics to know that this is true, that porn is being pushed at you, whether you're looking for it or not, that porn is always with you in your pocket or in your purse. The phrase "send nudes" is now a joke in our society that high schoolers say to each other, whether they mean it or not. A teenager watching porn and masturbating is seen as a normal high school or teenage experience. And you may joke about it with your friends or people around you, but you feel even weird just hearing me even say those words or talk about this topic on stage. But here's the thing. I don't want porn to be an issue somewhere out there, lost in the statistics or lost in the studies. I want porn to be an issue that we're addressing in here because it is in this room. It's in my heart. It's in your heart, and God has something to say about it. So what do you think about pornography? What do you think about it? Is it helpful? Is it healthy? Is it ever appropriate? And does the Bible even talk about it? And if it does, what does it have to say to me and to you? And before I go any further, we know this, but I want to say it out loud, that porn isn't a dude problem. Porn is a human problem, guys and girls. Even though statistically more guys do struggle with it, I think that it's true that girls also struggle as well. So what do you think about porn? Is it helpful? Is it healthy? Is it ever appropriate? What does the Bible have to say about it? I'm glad you asked because the Bible does have something to say about porn. So tonight we're going to look at 3 points. I'm just going to give you them real quickly. We'll look at what God thinks about porn. And then how porn is ruining your life or the life of your friend that may be addicted or constantly consuming pornography. And then I want to give you some practical steps to help you get your life back from porn or help you guide a friend or loved one or family member to guide their life and take it back from the chains of pornography. And so just to give you a definition so we can all be on the same page about what we're talking about, let me give you a definition of porn. We'll throw it up on the screen as well. Porn is printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic feelings. Printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic feelings. In other words, if the goal of that image or that printed picture or that video is to cause sexual arousal, there is in some sense and somewhere that it is considered pornography. Whether it's the nudes that you've sent or you've been sent or that you've heard about your friends sending, it's porn. That provocative Instagram picture that you posted or that you saw someone post can be considered pornography. Or the movies or the shows or the videos or the magazines that the goal is to cause and create sexual arousal, that falls under the category of pornography. So, what does God think about porn? Is our first point for the night. And we're going to look at one passage, so turn there with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll also have it up on the screen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 3 through 8, and then we'll make a few observations about what God thinks about porn. All right, so let me read that for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. It says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives us his Holy Spirit. So, I'm going to give you a few observations from this text about what God thinks about porn. So, we'll look at it piece by piece. I just wanted us to read it all aloud together so that we can be on the same page. But let's jump back to verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to give us our first idea of what God thinks about porn. So, verse 3 again says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. So, what does that mean? What does God think about porn? Here it is. God wants you, student in the room, person listening, God wants you to be sanctified, and porn stands in the way. God wants you to be sanctified, but porn is standing in the way. What does that mean? What does it mean that God wants us to be sanctified? It means that the God of the universe, who loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life and die a perfect death and raise again from the grave, so that you, by your faith and trust in him, might have a relationship with God. That God, he loves you so much. He wants your life to be marked by peace and joy and love. And he says that porn stands in the way. It's God's will for you to be sanctified. You want to know what God's will is? He wants you to live in communion with him. He wants you to follow Jesus. That's his will. And porn stands in the way. Because it says right after that God's will is that you should be sanctified, he says that you should avoid sexual immorality. And the obvious question is, okay, it doesn't say you should avoid pornography. Why are you using this verse or this passage of scripture? And I'm glad you asked. Because here's the thing. Here's the definition of sexual immorality. Sexual immorality, when you see it in the Bible, there's a Greek word, and the Greek word that's translated as sexual immorality is literally the word porneia, which sounds like pornography, right? You're tracking with me. There you go. You're getting your brain cells back working because you got a few more weeks before school. Sexual immorality is the translation from the Greek word porneia, where we literally get our English word porn. And so sexual immorality is any type of sexual expression outside the boundaries of a biblically defined marriage relationship. That is, any sort of sexual experience outside of the context of marriage between a man and a woman is considered sexual immorality. And what falls into that category? Pornography. Where you seek the pleasures and the feelings associated with sex outside of an actual relationship, marriage relationship with someone else. And God says that that activity stands in the way of your sanctification. Let's keep going. Verse 4, he says this again, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. And so the next thing that God thinks about porn is this. God thinks we should learn self-control instead of giving in to porn. God thinks that we, you, me, anyone listening, should learn self-control, should learn that even though I have these desires or even though I have these urges, because God wants me to be more like him, because God wants me to be joyful and have peace, he also calls me to learn to be marked by self-control, to say no to temptation, to say no to pornography. That's something else that God thinks about porn. Look with me at the second part of verse 6. It says this, "The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before." And so here's like maybe like the scariest one, you know, when you read it. The third thing that God thinks about porn is this: God will punish pornographers. God will punish pornographers. That's the third thing that God thinks about porn. God will punish pornographers. And so to be clear, all sin will be punished. All sin needs to be punished. And God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to be punished for every sin that ever was and ever will be committed. Okay, you tracking with me? And so people in this room or people who are listening who have placed their faith in Jesus are basically saying, I put my faith in him. I put my faith in his work. He takes the punishment for me so that I no longer have to experience it. But someone who says, I don't want Jesus. I don't want God. I don't want a relationship with him. They're saying, I would rather pay for my sins myself, because those are the options. It's either you pay for your sins or Jesus does it on behalf of you. Because God is just, because God is holy, because God is righteous, and he must judge sin. Specifically, he must judge pornography, and all sin will be punished. That's the third thing that God thinks about porn. And the fourth thing before we move on is found in verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 4:8 says this, "Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit." And that one is pretty self-explanatory. Here's the fourth thing that God thinks about porn. Anyone who gives into porn is rejecting the clear teaching of Scripture. Anyone who gives in to porn is rejecting the clear teaching of Scripture. It's clear right here, and it's clear in many other passages, but I want us to focus here and see that God is saying, I want you to be sanctified. I want you to live in peace. I want you to be marked by joy. I want you to live an abundant life, and porn is getting in the way. And if you don't get that, and if you don't understand it, if you reject that, you are rejecting the clear teaching of Scripture. I was first exposed to pornography when I was like maybe 8 or 9. I found these magazines. My stepdad at the time, he wasn't a believer, and he had these pornographic magazines hanging around the house, and I found them and, you know, saw them and looked at them. And then later on, when I was about maybe 12 or 13, I remember a season in life where I would stay up late and watch HBO, these HBO shows that were like, you know, basically pornography on television. And this was my first kind of exposure to or experience with it, where I could have easily been addicted to pornography from that day, you know, 12 or 13 years old, for years to come. And it's only by God's grace and kindness and his protection and just his covering over my life in that area that I'm not addicted to pornography today, but I so easily could have been. And I know that there's so many in this room who maybe are addicted or have been addicted or know someone who is. And God has something to say about porn. And he had something to say to me even in those moments when I was running towards this and excited to, you know, watch these videos or look at these images. Little did I know that I was taking the first steps to ruining my life. And so I want us to address for the next few moments how porn is ruining your life or the life of someone that you know that's addicted to it or that is continually consuming pornography. Because here's the thing I want you to get and I want you to write this down or whatever it is. Your consumption of porn is ruining your life, and you might not even know it. My consumption of, you know, all the cheese and the dairy products was ruining my life, my social experience, because I was being called lizard neck. But way more significant than that is your addiction to pornography and how it is ruining your life today. So for the next few moments, I want to go through a list of 10 ways. I'm going to suggest 10 ways that porn is, maybe will, or could ruin your life. 10 ways porn is ruining your life. And so I'll kind of go through them quickly. I'm not going to explain everything about every one of them. So take a picture of it or write them down as I speak. Some of them are, most of them, I've tried to make as self-explanatory as possible. But I want you to know the point that God thinks that porn is standing in the way of your sanctification. And also, in addition, porn is ruining your life. And here are some of the ways that it's doing that. Number one, porn distorts God's design for sex. We've kind of talked about it already. His plan was for a man and a woman within the context of marriage to experience the joys and the pleasures and the union that comes with sex. And the enemy, the devil, he knows this is true. And so he tells teenagers, he tells people, you don't need to actually have a physical partner like God intended for it to be. You can just get the same experience and pleasure by just, you know, watching this video or looking at this image. And he's distorting God's view or God's design for sex. He's telling you that you can get whatever you want, whenever you want. If you feel like you want to experience the pleasures of sex today, pull your phone out and go onto the internet and do it. That's what the enemy is telling you and telling your friends. The lies continue. Number two, porn teaches you that actions don't have consequences. Porn teaches you that actions don't have consequences. Do you know that most of the actresses, at least, that are on pornographic videos aren't there by choice? That they are literally slaves, that who are drugged, who are beaten, who are threatened. And we watch it and think that it has nothing to do with anyone that's outside of that room or that moment where we're sitting there. Porn teaches you that actions have no consequences. Number three, porn teaches you that your most exciting relationships are in your fantasies. Your friend invites you to come hang out or play some sport or go to dinner or go to lunch. And in your mind, if you're addicted to porn, the thing that seems most exciting is not talking to real people and having real relationships, but is sitting in your room, guy or girl, alone, by yourself, indulging in this fantasy world. Porn teaches you that those are the most exciting relationships. You don't have to learn to have conversations. You don't have to learn to build friendships. You don't have to learn to go through the awkwardness of starting a relationship, a friendship with someone else. You can just sit in your room and watch porn. That's what it teaches you. Number four, porn gives you unrealistic expectations about how sex should look, feel, and sound. It's pretty self-explanatory. Number five, porn teaches you that sex is all about your experience and how you feel about it. It's selfish. And I think, as I've heard from older guys who are married, who've told me about the joy that should be experienced in the marriage relationship through sex, they tell me, they remind me that it's not about you. It's not about how you feel or how your experience. It's about serving your spouse. But pornography tells you it's all about you and how you should feel and what they should do for, like, it just distorts, again, God's design for sex. Number six, porn hinders intimacy with Christ. This is self-explanatory. If you are running towards Christ, you are at the same time running away from pornography. But if you are running towards porn, if you are indulging in it, if you know someone who is, they cannot, by definition, at the same time be running towards Christ. It doesn't make sense. Because like we said, God's will is for you to be sanctified, and porn stands in the way. You can't have both. You can't go both ways. So if you at some point were addicted to porn, but at the same time you were like, I just don't feel God. I just, you know, I don't want to go to small group. Church doesn't do anything for me. I don't want to read the Bible. I think that it's connected or may have been connected to your consumption or addiction to pornography. Porn hinders your intimacy with Christ. Number seven, porn hinders your service for Christ. Do you know that if you graduate high school and you go to college and you want to serve at a Christian camp like Pine Cove or Kanakuk or, you know, Sky Ranch or whatever the case is, that one of the questions they're always going to ask you, guy or girl, is tell me about your history with pornography and where you're at with it right now. Do you know that every one of your small group leaders here at Watermark have sat face-to-face with one of us on staff with the student ministry team, and we've asked that question. What's your history with pornography, and where are you at with it now? Why? Because your relationship to porn is an indicator of your relationship with Christ. If you're fighting it, if you're running from it, it shows us that you're running towards Christ. But if you're not fighting it, it shows us that you're running from him. And there are people that have like said, hey, can I serve and be a small group leader? And we've told them, no. After we heard of their continual addiction, I'm not talking about, hey, you have to be perfect or else. I'm saying there are people that just don't serve here because of their addiction to pornography, because it's an indicator of their relationship with Jesus, right? Number eight, porn trains you to say yes to temptation. We talked about that one already, so that's self-explanatory. Number nine, porn always leaves you empty of the very thing you went searching for in the first place. Porn always leaves you empty of the very thing you went searching for in the first place. The satisfaction, the feeling of belonging, whatever the reason that you go to or have went to or know people who run towards porn, whatever the reason is, they always come back empty because it is a false god. Number 10, porn teaches you that there are things in your life that no one else can know. Porn teaches you that there are things in your life that no one else can know. Let me illustrate that point, and then we can move on to our final point for tonight. In my hand, I hold awards that I've been given over the years. This is a certificate for finishing a Bible study program when I was 10 years old. Why do I have this? I don't know. This is a certificate for excellent attendance at VBS when I was 10 years old. I don't even know why you're clapping. These are all honor roll like certificates, like, oh, you've made the dean's list or whatever that is that you do in junior high and high school. Why do I have these? Because at some point in my life, my mom had them prominently displayed in our house that he went to VBS and he went every day, or he, you know, did awesome in school. Why? Because things that are awesome, things that are fun, we celebrate them. We make them public. On Instagram, if you... you know, about to go to college, everyone has a, oh, I said gig'em ags under, you know, their acceptance letter, whatever. They post that. Or if you got a new job, or if you got engaged, you know this. Like, you see people celebrate milestones in their life. Or like the graduated seniors that just came back from Turks and Caicos. You went on your Instagram feed and all you saw was Turks and Caicos pictures and their inside jokes that none of you even know. They're all on there. Why? Why? Because things that are fun, things that we want that are celebrated in our lives, what do we want to do? We want other people to celebrate with us and be a part of it with us. When was the last time you saw someone post on social media, man, I'm just looking at porn and here's a scene from it. This is amazing. Exactly. Why you're laughing is exactly my point. There's a reason why it's not public, because porn wants to keep you trapped. It wants to keep you in the dark. It wants to keep you isolated. It doesn't want you to tell others about it, because it knows that in the moment that you begin to share, or the moment that you begin to seek healing, is the moment that it begins to lose its grip on your life. So, here's what I want you to know after going through this list, and then we'll wrap up. Porn is contributing to the loneliness, the selfishness, the sadness, the broken marriages, the crime, the violence, the mental health issues in our culture. Porn is a huge contributor to all of that. Porn is quite literally ruining your friendships and your families and your future. It is. The evidence is undeniable. So what do we do? How do we get our life back from porn? How do we help someone get their life back from pornography? I'll go through a few really quickly, and then we'll be out of here. How to get your life back from porn, the first thing I want you to know is that you need to tell someone. If you're addicted to porn, if you're continually consuming it, or if you know someone who's consuming it and they're keeping that secret, or they've only told you, I'm telling you, the moment they begin to tell people that they trust, the moment they tell a parent, the moment you tell your small group leader, the moment you tell someone that you trust in their maturity and their relationship with God, the moment you begin to share it is the moment you rob pornography of its power. That's why it wants you to keep it to yourself. That's why it wants you to isolate and not tell anyone else. And so the first thing that you need to do, that anyone wrestling with pornography needs to do, is to tell someone about it and ask them to help. The second thing to do to get your life back from porn is to take it one day at a time. You or your friend or whoever you're thinking of in this moment didn't get into their porn addiction in one day. And so they're not going to magically come out of it in one day as well. Just like it took time for that addiction to grow and be rooted in your heart, it takes time for God and His Holy Spirit and His Word and for people in your life to help it be uprooted from your life. And so if you're trying to get over that addiction, be patient with yourself or be patient with the person who is trying to get free, because it's a process. Not letting them live and do whatever they want, but being patient, because it's a slow process. And number three is to make radical changes. Make radical changes. If you want to experience freedom from pornography, you have to make radical changes. It makes common sense. It's logical. If you want a different outcome, you've got to make different choices, right? You can't just, you know, hear this message and say, yeah, that's so true. God thinks that porn is bad, and it affects my life. It ruins my life in so many ways. And yeah, Jermaine's right. And I'm gonna beat my addiction to porn and go out and live your life exactly how you were before you came in here. Here's what's gonna happen. Next week, you're still gonna be addicted to pornography. You have to make radical changes. If the way you usually access porn is with your phone, then you need to put some sort of filters on your phone that stop you from accessing it. Or maybe you need to get rid of your phone that has the World Wide Web on it so that you can't gain access. Or if it's your computer, or if it's that friend's house that you go over to and watch it, you need to stop hanging out with that friend. It's logical that you have to make different choices to experience a different outcome. And if you want to get your life back from porn, or if your friend, someone you know, wants to get their life back from porn, you have to make radical changes. And then the last one, the last way to get your life back from porn is this. Don't say, I'll never be in that chair, but rather, I will to never be in that chair. Don't say, I'll never be in that chair, but rather, I will to never be in that chair. And here's what I mean by that. There's some people in this room who maybe have never been addicted to porn, never watched porn, and you're like listening to this message and you're like, I don't even know who Jermaine's talking to. Why would anyone, you know, watch porn or consume porn? That's so dumb. Like, why would you do that? Or I've never done that. Or I'll never be that guy. Or I'll never be that girl. That's the person that's saying, I'll never be in that chair. And here's the thing. When you say that, when you believe that, you know who's listening? Your enemy. And he is like, perfect. I've got her. I've got him exactly where I want them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, let him who thinks he stands take heed, pay attention, lest he falls. Right? And so Don't say I'll never be in that chair, because even though you haven't been exposed to it or you're not addicted to it, tomorrow you could be the moment, could be the starting point of an addiction that you never thought you would have. But instead, what you should say is, I will, or I choose, I'm going to work. I'm going to ask people to ask me questions. I'm going to share when I'm struggling mentally. Do you know that every single week, every single Thursday morning at 9 a.m., so tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., a reminder will come up on my phone that tells me to text my community group and for us all to share how purity has been this last week. And not just, hey, have you watched porn or have you masturbated? But where have your eyes been? Where have your thoughts gone? Have you lingered on that picture on social media or whatever the case is? We confess all of those things because, like I said, we will to not be in this chair. But we know that any moment in a snap of a finger that we could end up in that chair. Does that make sense? Don't say, I'll never be in that chair, but rather, I will to never be in that chair. So in conclusion, your consumption of porn is ruining your life, or it could be, or it will, or you know someone whose life is being ruined by it. And God wants you to see porn the way He does so that you can experience freedom. He wants you to experience freedom so bad that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins and to raise again from the dead and offer you new life in Him so that you can experience freedom from pornography. So, when my doctor diagnosed me with lactose intolerance, I could no longer just eat cheese whenever I wanted to. I could no longer just crush as many bowls of ice cream that I wanted to. He told me, these are affecting you physically and psychologically and socially and in every single way. And so me walking out of that doctor's office, I had a different perspective of dairy and cheese, right? And so the next time I saw it, I was like, oh, I can't wait to eat that not delivery but DiGiorno pizza, but I'm not gonna do it because I do not wanna be lizard neck, right? It changed my perspective, and so instead of crushing delivery or DiGiorno, it went in the trash. I know, it's pretty sad, right? Instead of crushing the Blue Bell ice cream or Haagen-Dazs ice cream, you're like, don't do it, in the trash. Cheez-Its, Cheese Whiz, Pringles, whatever, actual slices of cheese, string cheese, even queso. All in the trash, and we're done right after this. We're done right after this. Come back with me. The reason why it all went in the trash, is because my perspective on dairy and cheese changed, right? I knew that it was hurting me. I knew that it was affecting me in a way that I didn't want it to. And so I pray that as a result of hearing what God has to say about porn and learning ways that it may be or can ruin your life, that you will see porn in a different light. Because you'll make no changes in your life if you still think there's nothing bad about porn. But if once the perspective changes, your actions change. Let me pray that you would. Lord, thank you so much for these students, and thank you for this time that we get to learn from your word about pornography, and thank you that you have something to say about it, and thank you that you have our best interest at heart. I pray for every student in this room, everyone listening, that they would just evaluate their lives and that they would see the ways that maybe they're running towards porn and make a decision, change a perspective, see porn the way you see it so that they can live the way you want them to live. And I pray that this has been a helpful tool for them in their own lives and in the lives of people that they know. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.